You're about to hear one of the most unusual messages ever presented on Insight for Living. In addition to serving as Bible teacher on this daily program and senior pastor of a growing church, Chuck Swindoll is also chancellor at Dallas Theological Seminary. Not long ago, he delivered a sequence of three messages to an audience of seminary students preparing for vocational Christian service. Today, we have the opportunity to eavesdrop with the full realization that the biblical wisdom Chuck shared applies to us all. He titled his first message, People Who Make the Ministry Difficult.
Always great to be with you, and it's always a mystery that I have to wrestle through when it comes to choosing what to talk on. Because you've heard everything from everybody. And so no matter what subject, you've heard it from someone, and you've heard it certainly from someone better than I could say it. But here I am to give it a try. What I try to do when I'm here is, I say try to because time alone will tell if that's true. I try to talk on things that cover two bases. First of all, they are interesting. If it isn't interesting, it's not your fault, it's mine. So I like to make it interesting and keep it interesting. And if it isn't, you're free to leave. If you're bored, honestly, if you're bored, don't go to sleep. Leave and go study, you know. But I want to keep it interesting. Second, I want to bring things that I never heard when I was at seminary. The things I share truly are things that were never addressed. It wasn't that someone deliberately wanted to keep the students in the dark. It's just they weren't the kind of things that were talked about back when I was a student. We got great truth, but we rarely got information that we could pack up and take with us and use in the practical side of the ministry. That's what I have in mind. And so my talks are invariably along the practical side. Plus, I'm not that bright, and so I don't try to get into areas that make the faculty frown. And when they start frowning, I'm the guy that wants to leave and study with you. So I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna talk about things that maybe not even they have addressed, and no doubt should, in light of the times in which we live. And they are tough times. They are tough. They're tougher than when I left seminary, and they were tough then. But they're tougher now. I have a grandson in law who just got on the police force in a little Texas town south of here. We had lunch with him we had altogether 11 of our family because one of them went through an adoption recently, and we all celebrated. So he came up from, his wife's a student at Texas A&M, and so they came up from College Station to be with us. He's on the police force at Brenham. And I said, you know, it's hard for me to imagine a drug problem in Brenham. And he laughed out loud. He looked at me like I was from another planet. He said, there are drug problems everywhere. In fact, you can't name a problem that isn't in the little town of Brenham. Which, again, is an awakening for me at this age. I should know that, but I sometimes think some of these little places are sort of sheltered. There is no sheltered place. You will not go to a place where you will be free of the tentacles of depravity, which has a big part to do with what I want to talk about. The Living Bible renders Job 14:1 like this. How frail is man, how few his days, how full of trouble. The only word I'd change is man, because it's humanity. How frail are people, including those who minister? I left feeling strong after I had finished at the seminary. It wasn't long before I realized just how weak I am. And though I have gifts and they are strengths in my life, nevertheless, down inside me are weaknesses that I will carry with me to the grave, and the same for you. Now, in light of that, I want to look at two perspectives of the ministry that are opposites. This semester, I want to look at the dark side, and I would put it under the category of what makes the ministry so challenging. Why is it that I get an email from a guy just this morning that tells me he's leaving the ministry? What was it that was so challenging that he couldn't continue in it? He's one of our grads. And the next semester, I want to talk about what makes the ministry so charming or fulfilling to keep a guy like me in it for over half a century. And I wake up every morning so motivated and excited about the opportunity to serve Christ in whatever capacity. And not every day is that great, but the privilege of serving Christ is always great. Now, what are the things that cause ministry to become difficult, challenging? Why are times sometimes dark? And I've limited the answer to three areas. One of them I want to talk on today. The next one I want to talk on the 6th of October when I'm back. And then the third on the 28th of November when I'm here for the third time for this semester. The first is the difficult people who are around us. That's part of the reason ministry is so challenging. You will encounter difficult people throughout your ministry. I was never told that at seminary. I don't know why it was a surprise, because I had difficult fellow students to get along with, and I was a difficult one as well. It stands to reason, but we often don't think about it. Your time in ministry will be spent with difficult people. And if you allow it, and if you don't know how to handle them, if they get the best of you, then you're among the statistics. And you finally say, it just isn't worth it. And you can't go to some country where they're not present. You can't go into any work where it isn't true. You can't be on any faculty where there aren't other difficult faculty members. You can't go to a school where there aren't difficult students. And you can't serve in a pastorate where there aren't difficult members of the church. So that's the subject I want to address today, the difficult people around us. The second will be in October. I'll talk about the human tendencies within us. That also makes ministry challenging. I put together a little list. An argumentative spirit, narcissism, pride, deceit, envy, an unsubmissive spirit, a suspicious spirit, hypocrisy, jealousy, envy, lust, a number of neuroses and psychoses, and evil tendencies. Those are things that go on inside of us, and you take them with you. If you are impatient now, you will be impatient in your ministry. If you have an acrid tongue, you will have an acrid tongue in ministry. That won't change unless you really go to work on those techniques that will curb those tendencies, because you're born, it goes with the depravity package, and you've got that to deal with. That also makes it, and people who have those tendencies will make life in ministry difficult for you. We have a saying, if it weren't for people, ministry would be a breeze. It's true, but stop to think, if it weren't for people, we wouldn't have a ministry. We wouldn't have points of accountability. I wouldn't have a team of people to work with at our great church out in Frisco. I wouldn't have close friends. I wouldn't have folks to listen when I preach or teach. I wouldn't have a reason to prepare or to hone creative skills that God has given me. It's people that are so vital to our ministry, and yet they can really be ornery. And some of them, as I'm going to mention, can even be dangerous. So there are the people, and then there are those tendencies within us. Now the third has to do with things that happen to us. I call them unexpected circumstances. You can get your degree, you can finish well, you can be fairly proficient in the areas of your gift, but once you have gotten underway in ministry, things can occur apart from you're being ready for them. Your spouse can walk out on you and want a divorce from you. Changes the whole face of ministry. That was never addressed in my years at Dallas Seminary. You can get a report from your doc, and he says you have less than 2 years to live. And a circumstance that happens to you. A tragedy can occur in your city or in your church. And you didn't see it coming, but it makes ministry there difficult. You can realize as things change around you that you no longer fit. I've got on my phone in the car right now a note from a young man that graduated some 15 years ago from the school. And he's just made a decision to leave that particular place where he's been serving faithfully. And he said, I no longer fit the particular ministry it has become. So that ministry area has changed. He doesn't fit it. I never once heard the word fit at the school. I want you to hear it from others as well as from me. Fit is a big part of why we are called to a ministry or why we're able to stay there. The fit is sometimes tailor-made. I went to New England. I was there for 2 years. It's the longest decade of my life, I'll tell you. And it wasn't New England's fault. I didn't fit the scene. And you've heard that story from me before. Others go, and a young man went that I mentored when I was at the seminary, loved him. He was from that area. He went back to that area. His entire years of ministry, he recently retired, were spent right there in Connecticut. And he loved it. And I was always kind of amazed that he, but he understood that setting, that scene. In my November meeting with you, I'm going to talk about circumstances that can occur without you really having a lot to do with them. But as a result of them, you have difficulty serving Christ, even though you did very well at school. So I want to help prepare you for what is in front of you. So let's get into it. Paul is born again in Acts chapter 9. I want to do a little timeline here, and I'll show you why. When we think about people and the role of difficult people, Paul is converted in Acts 9, you know the story, on the road to Damascus. As best I can figure, that was AD 35. So not long after the death and resurrection and ascension of the Savior, Paul is engaged in acts of terrorism and torment against believers, and the Lord says in his sovereign grace, that's enough. I want this man, Saul of Tarsus, on our team. And he changed it. He transformed him. I'll tell you, that is a marvelous story. And if you think God can't change it, an impossible person, you've forgotten Acts 9. Because he is transformed. That's Acts 9. And it's easy to miss a very important statement that is said while Paul is blind, waiting for the next movement on God's part, now that he's under the sovereign eye and will of God. The Lord said to Ananias, go. Ananias didn't want to go because he knew the kind of man Saul of Tarsus had been. That would be a frightening encounter, and he couldn't believe the man was changed. And the Lord says to him, go. He's a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name. I'm reading from Acts 9:15. He's to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. Next verse. Hear it well. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. What an interesting introductory statement. I want you to go. I want you to minister to him. I want you to take his hand, help him up. He has no sight. And I want him to come to realize the things he will suffer. This is 35, AD 35, roughly. When I turn ahead to 2 Corinthians 11, I'm moving to AD 56, roughly. Okay? So we've gone ahead 21 years. 21 years later, Paul reflects on his life. And you've read the account, and you've sighed, as I have, as he lists the things that happened. Verse 24, five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Easy to jump onto the next thing in the list. I've never received one lash. Nor have you, most likely. Maybe if you're from another country where that is done and where torture is still allowed, maybe you've gone through some of that. We have a man in our church who's a POW, former POW, and after 7 years in the Hanoi Hilton, he, by the grace of God, was allowed to leave. And his story, we honored him one Veterans Day Sunday, and when I shook his hand, it was like holding onto a bag of bones. Every finger had been broken during his POW years. He could understand words like this. Listen to these words 21 years after his conversion. 39 times. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. A night and a day in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers and robbers and countrymen and Gentiles, and in the city and in the wilderness and on the sea and among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardships through many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food. I'm glad you're quiet right now. He had been starving. He was in cold and exposure. One of the books I read this summer was a story of a man who got out of a plane crash in the Arctic and spent 100 days where every one of those days were spent below zero. Story is phenomenal. Apart from such external things, there's the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Woven into the fabric of that painful section are people. People. He was hounded from the very beginning of his conversion to his beheading in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I turn there. And if I figure correctly, that's about AD 67. 35, 56, 67, over 30 years. This great man of God suffered at the hands of brutal, evil people. I must show him how much he must suffer. Paul reflects on it in 2 Corinthians 11. He writes about our times in 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, that's now, difficult times, I often read it, have come, and the list is all about people. Listen to those to whom you will minister. They will be lovers of self, lovers of money. They will be boastful, arrogant, revilers. They will disobey their parents. They will be ungrateful. They will be unholy. They will be unloving. They will be irreconcilable. They will be malicious gossips. They will be without self-control. Some will be brutal. Haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness and so on. You know the passage almost by heart. I know that. But you've not ministered to them yet. That's a whole nother ballgame. When those you serve turn on you. Now, most won't. Let me make it clear. This is not haranguing that everybody we work with is a loser and everybody's against us and that all people are deliberately wicked and harsh, hard to deal with. I don't know of any work that will allow you to be with some of the greatest people on the planet, like the ministry. To use the words of Hebrews, there are people of whom the world isn't worthy. When I think back over a circle of friends that I've gathered through the years, I'll tell you, I give thanks for them rather regularly. They have helped me in ways that I can hardly describe.
You're listening to a very special edition of Insight for Living. This is the first of three messages Chuck Swindoll delivered to an audience of seminary students preparing for a lifetime of Christian service. We're calling this brand new mini-series, Things That Hinder Your Years at Seminary. And you can purchase all three on CD or as a downloadable audio file when you go to insightworld.org. With six decades devoted to serving the church, Chuck Swindoll has become a model for pastors and preachers around the world. And this program has not only become a trusted source of biblical wisdom for millions of people like you, but a model for pastors who faithfully serve their congregations. When you faithfully support Insight for Living Ministries, you're not only ensuring that Chuck's teaching is here each day for you, but you're also investing in those who will ultimately serve the church in pastoral ministry or parachurch organizations, or perhaps teach in seminaries or serve on the mission field. It's quite common to receive comments from men and women who thank us for contributing to their life. Some listen to the daily Bible teaching. Others use Chuck's Searching the Scriptures book and online resources. Others listen to the podcast. You can easily join us in following Christ's command to go and make disciples of all the nations by giving a donation today. Your gift, no matter the amount, will truly make a difference. The best way to leverage your support of Insight for Living is to become a monthly companion. In this arrangement, you give a monthly donation by either automating your gift online or by sending a check every month. To become a monthly companion today, just give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly-companion. Take it from Chuck Swindoll. There's nothing quite like the beauty of the great frontier.
Wide open skies, pristine glaciers with various shades of blue and turquoise mingled within them, towering pine trees, and all manner of wildlife. I'll tell you, Alaska is truly a masterpiece of God's creation.
I've been to a lot of places and seen a lot of things, but honestly, nothing compares to the beauty in Alaska. God is awesome.
Please plan to come with us on Insight for Living Ministries 40th anniversary cruise to Alaska. It will be held June 29 through July 6, 2019.
When I'm in Alaska, I feel like I'm in an amazing painting created by God.
Let yourself get lost in the majestic beauty. Spend quality time with those you love. Allow God to refresh your soul as you reflect on His Word and His goodness in your life.
To learn more, go to insight.org/events or call this number 1-888-447-0444. The tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. I'm Dave Spiker. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll continues his message called People Who Make the Ministry Difficult, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, People Who Make the Ministry Difficult, was copyrighted in 2017 and 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.